Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Coming to you from New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show. Tonight, wage theft in America. Michael Strahan. And Cheryl Lee Ralph. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
This, we have got a great show for you tonight. The World Cup is continuing its run of upsets. Mozzarella sticks are getting sued, and we'll give you yet another reason to hate your boss. Plus, we have two fantastic guests joining us on the show. NFL legend Michael Strahan is going to be here. And one of the stars of Abbott Elementary, Cheryl Lee Ralph, is going to be here tonight. So let's do this, people. Let's jump straight into today's headlines. Everybody, before we get into the big stories, let's catch up on a few other things going on in the world. Starting off with the World Cup. In today's knockout games, Portugal absolutely obliterated Switzerland 6-1. Yeah, and after this match, now I guess we see why Switzerland doesn't get involved in wars. But the major World Cup news of today is how the North African nation of Morocco pulled an absolutely stunning upset off against football powerhouse Spain. And I know this won't make up for the fact that Spain once colonized a part of Morocco, but it goes a long way. It really does. Oh, in international news, the government of Indonesia has just officially banned all sex outside of marriage. Yes, with a penalty of up to 1 year in prison. That's gonna make for some weird conversation in Indonesian prisons, though, you know? They'd be like, I'm here for murder. What are you in for? A mediocre night with Jason. Oh, and in some major legal news, the Trump Organization has been found guilty of 17 counts of tax fraud and other financial crimes. And you know what that means? Donald Trump is going to prison! Visit all the lower-ranking people who did this without his knowledge or his permission. Yeah, because we all know that's how that works in the world, right? All the successes in Trump's organization, they're due to the genius of Donald Trump. All the crimes, he had no idea. He's like, that's right, folks. I have zero control over the things I run, which is why you should vote for me to run the country so I can run it like one of my companies, which I don't even run. But speaking of crimes, let's move on to our main story. In the run-up to the midterms, one of the major issues for voters across the land was crime. In fact, any time you turned on the news, you were bound to see stories like this.
Business owners across the country are stepping up security as they report brazen shoplifting. We've all seen the videos.
Shoplifting at supermarkets across the USA is out of control.
Handbag haul. The brazen bandit who cops say walked out with all these stolen handbags.
A shoplifting epidemic highlighted by this viral video at a Walgreens last week.
Shoplifting is up 300% as video of brazen thieves leaving with their arms laden with stolen merchandise continue to shock all Americans.
Shoplifting has gotten so bad this year, Rite Aid is considering literally putting everything behind showcases.
Yeah, you hear that? Shoplifting has gotten so bad that they're locking everything behind showcases. Oh, and the person who unlocks the showcase, They're locked behind the showcase too. Yeah, now you're screwed. What are you gonna do? But yes, almost every day in the news, we've seen these horrible stories, you know, about people blatantly breaking the law and stealing what doesn't belong to them. And I don't care what anyone says, there is zero excuse for shoplifting. Zero excuse. Even in the instances where you find yourself waiting in line forever and there's 6 open registers, but the store only decided to hire 1 cashier, which makes you feel like they're taunting you, showing you how fast it could be, but they just don't want it to be, you know? So then you think, oh, you're just gonna go and use the self-checkout, but then there's an error because you didn't put the item in the bagging area, or because you put it in too early or too late, and now you have to wait for the supervisor to come over and ask, oh, are you trying to buy this? No, I just enjoy holding shampoo. Yeah, that's what I'm doing here. Yes, I'm trying to buy this. Yes, I'm trying to buy it. And then, instead of just like helping you out, they give you that look. They give you that look like, and then they wave the magical little key fob. And then, even in that instance, it is not justified. Even when it's justified, it is not justified to steal. But what if I told you, that the biggest theft isn't people stealing from companies? What if I told you the biggest theft is companies stealing from people? Well, you might ask, how or why? Well, let's find out in another installment of If You Don't Know, Now You Know. When you take a job, you're making a simple agreement with your employer, right? You do the work, they give you pay. That's the very foundation that jobs are built on. And yet all over the country, all over the world, in fact, employers aren't holding up their end of the deal.
Imagine working and never getting paid. It's a growing problem called wage theft.
Wage theft occurs when a worker is paid less than they're legally entitled to, such as when they're denied pay for working overtime, or work off the clock without getting paid, or are denied legal meal breaks.
67 letter carriers say their paychecks were changed to make it look like they worked less hours than they actually did.
Workers at Hardee's and Carl's Jr. have filed dozens of state and federal complaints, including allegations of wage theft, manipulated overtime, and unfair labor practices.
About 10,000 people are saying Chipotle forced them to work off the clock to boost the bottom line.
Wage theft is the costliest crime in the country, robbing U.S. workers of $15 billion per year, more than car thefts, burglaries, and other larcenies combined.
Yeah, that's right. The costliest crime in the United States is actually being committed by corporations. So I guess instead of following black people around the store, security guards should be hovering over CEOs at their desk. Yeah. They should be looking over them. And being like, I'm gonna need you to go ahead and put that person's salary back where it belongs. I was like, oh, sorry, I didn't see that I had that. Yeah, I bet you didn't. And I think we can all agree, nobody should be doing work that they're not getting paid for. Because, I mean, then that's not a job. Now you're volunteering at a fast food restaurant, and who would do that? Huh? Who's there like, oh, me, I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it for the love of childhood obesity. And by the way, wage theft isn't just when companies don't pay employees for the work that they've done. In some instances, employers find really shitty ways to actually make their employees pay them. For example, there was a restaurant owner who confiscated his employees' tips at the end of their shift and called it, I swear to God, a cleaning fee. Yeah, the NFL Oakland Raiders would dock their cheerleaders' pay for shit like wearing the wrong color nail polish. Yeah, but this example of creative wage theft might be my favorite of all.
This is Fantasy Gentlemen's Club in Grand Junction, and this is the 24-page class action lawsuit claiming
Fantasy Gentlemen's Club has been exploiting these workers for years.
Among other charges, dancers accused the club of cutting into their take-home pay with excessive fines.
$50 if dancers don't share tips with the DJ and security, $100 to change the schedule. There's even a fine for complaining to customers about their personal lives.
I'm sorry, what? This is the biggest bullshit of all. You can't fine strippers for complaining to customers about their personal lives, all right? First of all, how can you even tell that they're complaining and not just singing along to the Drake song that's playing? You don't know. You don't know. And second of all, if strippers couldn't complain about their lives, then how would they be able to convince customers into spending more than they plan to help save them from this life?
So what you're saying is if we go to the champagne room, then you can move with me to Chicago? Is that it?
And there's a lot of reasons businesses are able to get away with this. First of all, wage theft tends to target people with the least ability to fight back, like hourly workers and undocumented immigrants. Making matters worse, the government agencies who are supposed to be the watchdogs against wage theft are understaffed and underfunded. Oh, and when companies do get caught stealing, here's what happens to them.
McDonald's has agreed to pay $26 million to settle accusations of wage theft. It follows a long-running class action lawsuit at corporate-run locations in California.
The U.S. Labor Department says Walmart will pay $4.8 million in back wages and damages to more than 4,500 employees.
Amazon agreed to pay $8.2 million to settle a wage theft lawsuit. And Krispy Kreme was ordered to pay workers more than $1.1 million after investigators found widespread and systematic failure to pay workers what they were owed.
Huh, that's so strange. All of this theft occurred, but there was no mention of anyone going to jail. But then how will they learn their lesson? Oh, and before you say, but Trevor, you can't put a corporation in jail. Says who? Says who? They always say corporations are people, so why doesn't America treat them like American people? Huh? Why not? Every single time a company gets busted stealing their workers' wages, you know what they should do? They should say that the company headquarters should be taken to prison. Yeah, that's what they should do. Just take the actual headquarters, put it in prison. Yeah, you hear that, Amazon? Same-day delivery is going to be a lot harder when you have to smuggle that air fryer in your butthole. But just because it's all too easy for companies to steal from their workers, that doesn't mean workers are powerless. Wage theft has been one of the issues driving an increase in unionization. And California has just passed a law saying that for the first time anywhere in the country, wages and payment rules for all fast food workers will be set not by employers, but by a council of experts appointed by the state. Yes, a council of fast food experts. So finally, a government job that Trump is actually qualified for. But for some workers, waiting for the bureaucracy of the courts or the government to intervene just takes too long, which is why one construction worker in England expressed his anger in a more physical way.
A row over £600 that will end up costing so much more to put right. This construction worker was so angry at allegedly not being paid that he took drastic action. Driving a mini excavator into the newly finished hotel that he'd helped build.
Okay, okay. I know this seems bad, but is it? No, because the guy did the work, didn't get paid, and then he undid the work, right? Seems like a fair deal to me. And it reminds me of a very wise thing my grandfather used to tell me. He'd say, remember, Trevor, if you want to screw someone over, make sure they don't own a bulldozer first. And yes, my grandfather was Nelson Mandela. He was indeed. The next time you turn the TV on and see all the news about people shoplifting from drug stores before assuming there is a crime, maybe just for a moment think that they could just be getting their wages back a totally different way. And if you don't know, now you know. Before we go to a break, it's time to check in on the weather forecast with our very own Desi Leidick, everybody! Desi, what's happening in the weather?
I don't know. My Wi-Fi's down, so my weather app doesn't work. You know, Trevor, it's interesting. You're going on and on about the epidemic of wage theft, meanwhile ignoring the wage theft going on right in front of you.
Whoa. No, Desi, what are you talking about? You're getting paid.
Well, sure, maybe for doing the weather.
Well, actually, you never actually do the weather.
But there is a ton of other stuff that I do that I'm not compensated for. Like, I spend hours of the workday selling my bathtub kombucha on Etsy, and I haven't seen a dime from this show.
But Desi, that's not wage theft. We're not paying you to do that.
Exactly. You're not paying me to do that. And it's how I spend most of my time in the office at work. But it's fine. Don't worry. You'll read all about it in the lawsuit.
Wait. Wait, you're suing me?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been a long time coming. Because I work very, very hard at this show. Do you know that I have never once been paid overtime for organizing the office supplies and putting them neatly in boxes and taking them home to my apartment?
Have you been stealing office supplies?
Well, not to mention all the hours that I spent taking the laser out of the laser printer.
Desi, that's not even how a laser printer works.
Well, I know that now, but I'm not getting that time back.
Okay, Desi, none of this is actually wage theft. You realize that?
I'm sorry. Who made you judge, Judy? Okay.
You know what? I didn't want to do this, but, I didn't want to do this. I don't think you're going to win a wage theft lawsuit with us because I have a solid year of video evidence of you never actually doing the weather, which is your actual job.
Oh, okay. Is that how it's going to be? You want to play hardball, huh? Fine. I get it.
Yeah, Desi, I'm sorry that you feel that way, all right? I'm just saying. You know, if anything, it sounds like you're the person who's stealing from the place that pays your wages. You know, so I don't think taking this case to the court is the right idea. It's just like, it's one of those things. Wait, Desi? Desi, what are you doing? Desi?
Yeah. That's right. You had your chance, Trevor. Now it's time for bulldozer justice. And by the way, I'm charging extra for this.
No, don't do it, Desi. No, Desi. No! All right, we're going to take a quick break while everyone evacuates the studio. Desi Leidick, everybody. When we come back, the legendary Michael Strahan will be joining us on the show, so don't go away.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My first guest tonight is Pro Football Hall of Famer who hosts Good Morning America and Fox NFL Sunday. He's here to talk about a new podcast he's produced called American Football: How the Gridiron Was Forged, which is now streaming on Audible and wherever you get your podcasts. Please welcome Michael Strahan.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Michael,
hey, before
Strahan.
You ask me one thing.
Before I ask you,
before you ask me, I'm going to say you're brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
You're brilliant.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And, you know, you're going to be... If you ever get, like, tired of not doing this, my living room's always open. Come over.
Can I
anytime.
That would be so much fun. Just the Daily Show for one person.
That's the thing.
You're not paying me?
I'm not paying you, man. You just got to show up doing
it. That would be fun. I would do that. It's like Daily Show for one person at their house. That's actually an idea that I'll just do that. Individual shows with people.
I like that.
Just be addressing it to you.
Perfect.
But first, Michael, let's kick things off with the story. You can even ask questions. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, man.
I feel like you make that offer to me, but you wouldn't have the time for me to come to your house and do that because there are a few people I know who have more jobs than you do. You retired from football to do everything else.
I retired to get more jobs.
That's essentially what you did, right? So you're working in television, and it's all types of television. You've got like morning television, you've got sports television, you've got a clothing line, you know, you've got a skincare line now, you've got a podcast. So let's start with the podcast because that's one of the newest aspects of what you're doing. Talk me through the history of the NFL because, no, so many sports are popular.
Yeah.
But football has a special place in America. What do you think it is about football that makes it what it is in American history?
It's violent.
Wow.
I'm joking, man. It's controlled aggression.
Okay.
I call it controlled aggression. But I think we love football so much because, you know, it's America, again, American Football, the podcast, and it goes back to the origin of the game. And football was a white-collar sport back in the day.
Yeah, I was shocked to find
that out.
But
they wouldn't let the blue-collar guys play, so they created their own league to compete. And now it's kind of turned into, it's blue-collar guys playing, getting paid white-collar salaries. You know, it's kind of, if you think about it, the game has changed. But we dove back into things that I didn't know about the game of football. Right. I just kind of assumed I'm a player. I love the game. But when you go back and look at the origin, how it was founded, and the way that they had to go and get around the system to create some of these teams, and to have Kate Mara come in and narrate it.
That is amazing.
Who was a part of two football dynasties, the Giants and the Steelers, through her family. It was like a dream project for me, because without the NFL, I wouldn't be sitting here with you. It gave me a completely different life than I ever expected. Mm-hmm. But to dive back into the history of the game and understand how far it's come, but where it began, and it's totally different than what I expected, I hope people will tune in so that they can learn a little bit more about what we love so much, which is American football.
But what I love about the podcast is that it's not just about the sport. So if you don't like the sport, the podcast is still amazing, because it delves into history, it delves into classism, it delves into these battles
Everything.
Between who has and who doesn't, and who should and who shouldn't be. It's a fascinating story. And as you talk about the progression of football, it made me wonder, you're one of the few people who's had the span of career that you had in football, mm-hmm. playing for what, 15 years?
15 years, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, tell me about it. I know. It's crazy.
So I would love to know, as somebody who witnessed the game up close for 15 years, would you change anything about football now? Or if you could wave a magic wand and change three things about football tomorrow, what would they be?
I would wave a magic wand and make it so that I could play for a lot longer.
So you're going back?
Yeah, I want to go back with body, man. You know what you miss? You miss physically dominating another man.
Okay. Someone's going to clip that sentence and take it out of context. you enjoy it. I love it. Because Michael's like, I miss hugging another man so hard.
I was loving
him as hard as I could.
But I do miss that. I miss the competitiveness of it. Okay. I miss the physicality. Okay. I would probably wave my magic wand and you know, I like what they're doing, though, when it comes to, like, injuries in the brain and all these different things. I like what they're doing there. There's not much, I don't know how much you can change the game, because I almost feel like in some aspect you change it so much it takes away from what it was.
Okay, what would you change in and around the game? So, for instance, one of the things that always threw me, and I might be wrong.
Yeah,
this,
you but, tell me. What throws you about football?
I was always thrown by this, is the fact that, like, if you got injured playing football, it was just over for you, and then you don't get the money that was promised to you, but you got injured playing the sport.
You don't get guaranteed contracts unless certain guys now are getting them.
Okay, so that's changing.
Or you get as much money as you can up front in your signing bonus, so they can't release you so early because they're going to get some money out of you by making you play.
Okay.
And that was the one thing. Yeah, I would probably change the guarantees and contracts. Basketball has them.
Yes.
Baseball has them. But the problem with football that they see is that if you guarantee the money, there are 60-something guys on a team. So if you have that many guys on injured reserve, how can you economically afford to have
billions.
That many guys? I know. That's their argument. I didn't say they were right.
Okay.
Trust me, I would have loved guaranteed money.
I'm just saying, anyone who has billions going like, I don't want money.
I don't know where they're getting from.
You have billions.
Can you get this cup of coffee?
Before I let you go, I want to talk about one of your latest ventures, which is your skincare line.
Yeah, man.
You know, you have beautiful skin.
Thank you.
You really do. This is another opportunity I don't think a lot of people would have thought of a long time ago. People would have said, like, a football player, Michael Strahan, blah, blah, and then it's like the skincare line of Michael Strahan. I like this. It's all sides of you.
Yeah, the guys who like to dominate other men. Yes. It's skincare now.
Yes.
Well, you know what it is? It's like,
dominate
to me,
other men with your skincare.
Yes.
Look at these pores. Look at them.
But, you know, it all started with the clothing line. And it was like, okay, I'm on TV. I'm always in suits and stuff. So it was like a confidence thing, man. You want to feel good like you. You look good. You feel good, right? You perform better. And I think that skincare was a missing link, at least for me, because everything I've done has always been about my life and my lifestyle. I don't do anything that isn't authentically me.
Right.
So it was about skincare and having a routine that is easy to do, because I'm kind of lazy about that.
Which I think is most men. Like, every single friend of mine, every woman I talk to who's a friend, I go, oh, they go, what do you do for your skincare? And I go, I wash the face and I leave the house. And Like, it's always the shock and the, what's your routine? And then I got taught, it's like, no, you need to respect it and treat
it.
So what's the routine? How many steps?
So we have five products.
Yeah.
So we have a face wash.
This would be great. You could do one of those YouTube, like, so everyone's been asking me about my skincare routine. I'm Michael Strahan. You could be doing that right now. I think it would be amazing.
I think it would be amazing.
In circles.
Right. Tell me what's the routine.
So we have the face wash, which every day, easy routine, you take a shower, you wash your face.
Yes, right.
And then you have the face and neck moisturizer. You get out.
Face and neck moisturizer.
Yeah, yes, you know.
You do the neck as well?
Yeah, you can do the neck.
Okay, I'll do the neck.
All up in here. All up in here.
Okay.
Look at my neck. I'm 82 years old. Look at that neck. So you got the face and neck moisturizer, and then if you have a beard, like I got a beard, I put the beard oil on.
You got beard oil?
Beard oil, yeah.
Wow.
You gotta keep that beard silky and soft. You don't know who you may rub up into, you know what I'm saying? So that's the second thing I did that could be...
I'm loving this.
That could be messed up, man. And then after that, we have our saving gel, like a saving lotion.
Okay.
And it's clear so that you can actually see when you shave where exactly you're shaving. Because that was always the thing.
Right.
I finished shaving, like, one's up here, the other's down there. And then we have our post-shave, you know, balm. So nice, easy put on. Doesn't really sting your face.
Okay.
But it's a very simple thing, man. And for me, it takes less time than brushing my teeth. So... I always say they may not be together, but they're clean. I can tell you that.
But dude, thank you again.
I appreciate
it. Thank you for joining me on the show. As always, thank you for being so wonderful.
Thank you.
When we come back, one of the stars of Abbott Elementary, Cheryl Lee Ralph, is going to be joining me on the show. You don't want to miss it. But dude, always.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
Welcome back to the Daily Show. My next guest is a Tony-nominated and Emmy Award-winning actor who stars in the hit series Abbott Elementary, which airs Wednesday nights on ABC and can be streamed on Hulu. Please welcome Cheryl Lee Ralph. The one and only Cheryl Lee Ralph. Welcome to The Daily Show. Let me start with saying congratulations, Emmy Award winning. You know, there are many performers in history, many artists, many actors, who audiences have said, critics alike, this person never got their flowers. This person never got the recognition that they deserved. So many people in Black Hollywood never got the flowers that they deserved. Yeah. Talk me through just a part of this journey. You know, you've done it all. I mean, Moesha for me, and then moving from one to the next. You know, Dreamgirls for so many people back in the day, the original Dreamgirl. Talk me through the journey and what has kept you being as effervescent as you are.
Oh my God, I choose to be happy. I choose joy. Yeah. I believe that since I am alive, I might as well get up, get out there, and enjoy it. Yes. I'm so happy that God has chosen throughout all of these years to wake me up every morning in my right mind. So that I can carry on in life.
Yes.
I love it!
Amen!
Yes!
Yes!
That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me enjoying what I do through all of the ups and downs, through all of the missteps and the bad breaks. I choose to carry on. I choose to look in the mirror and love what I see.
We love what we see.
Thank you.
We genuinely love what we see.
again, I mean, I am a sucker for, I love all comedy. Anything that is funny, I love. You are a master in the way you perform it. Abbott Elementary has done what many people said wasn't possible. That's people said no one watches live TV anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes a sitcom anymore. Nobody likes these family stories anymore. Right. And yet Abbott Elementary has gone and done the exact thing that everyone said was impossible. Mm-hmm. You know, Quinta Brunson assembled this amazing squad of people to come in and tell real stories that teachers love of themselves, of the students, of the American schooling system.
That's right.
You know, I know it touches everything, but what do you think it is that brings people back every single week and watching live, by the way, sharing it with each other?
I think what they're seeing is their own struggles. We're just a group of regular people in the show going through life. And we just happen to be in a very challenging situation. And every week we are getting over the difficulties and we are appreciating what we have together, working together on the show, in the show, in the characters, in the scripts. And people see themselves in it and
they
love
that.
It. They feel it,
they
too.
Feel it, and they love it.
And they tell us.
They do.
Oh,
they do.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they do.
Oh, my God. My life now has turned into one big photo session. Anytime I go out into the street,
yes.
Everybody wants to take a picture. Everybody wants you to talk to their people. And everybody wants to tell you how much they love you. And I am saying, see, that's why I wake up happy every day.
You're also the rare breed of human being who is, you know, talented in every aspect of what you do. You know,
Thank you. Some
people will see you as an actor on screen. Others know you as the phenomenal performer on stage. And now you have an album out.
Yes.
A Christmas album.
Yes.
Slay.
Yes.
Which I like the play on words. But talk me through that. Talk me through why the Christmas album and why an album in general.
Well, first of all, it was only supposed to be a song. And before I knew it, we had done 15 songs and we have an album called Slay, and people are actually downloading it everywhere and loving it. It's crazy. Yeah.
People are
It's not your mother's Christmas album.
It is not.
We're gonna take your mother to church and the club.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't notice that. It is one of the sexier Christmas albums
I've ever heard.
I'm not gonna lie.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about your moment at the Emmys. Where
yes.
I always say, you know, at every award show, I feel like there should be an award for the best award acceptance.
Aww.
And yours was that. Because sometimes at awards, you know, it can feel self-indulgent. It can feel like we're not part of what's happening. It felt like we won with you. It felt like people won, you know, with your win, even just for their lives. It didn't feel like a platitude. It didn't feel like you were just saying it. It felt like you were embodying it. And I'd love to know, in that moment, when you're holding that award, you know, in an industry that everyone thrives to be celebrated or successful mm-hmm. in, what made you think of talking to the people and not just talking about yourself?
Because I thought in that moment, you know, my dad was a great lifelong learner and educator, and I, when they called my name, it was just like I could hear my dad saying, "There you are, it's your time, come on." But I couldn't, I was so shocked, I couldn't get the message from my brain to my feet to move. And I my husband kept saying, "Get up, get up." And it wasn't until I heard Quinta say, "It's your name, get up!" And then I got up because Tyler came and literally lifted me up and guided me to the stage. And I got there, center stage, and there was my dad again saying, "Don't you cry. Don't you cry. This is your moment. Let them know who you are and how you got here."
Wow.
And there's a big screen like that in front of me saying, "Stop now. Stop now." And I was like, "I haven't even gotten started."
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
I love it so much. Thank you for joining me on the
Thank
show.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you so much for everything you do. Thank you so much. Cheryl Lee Ralph, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.
Well, that's our show for tonight. But before we go, this holiday season, please consider supporting Feeding America, the largest hunger relief organization in the United States. If you can support them in their amazing work of getting nourishing food to the people who need it most, then please donate at the link below. Until next time, stay safe out there. And remember, the next time you walk past a major corporation, you might want to clutch your bag.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for The Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes. We can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.